this morning's lesson, we're going to focus on the concepts of confession. As we said on this track, it says, God, I'm sorry. I know I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. Help come into my life and make me a born-again Christian. Help me to be the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Then it says, if you have prayed that prayer with a sincere heart, then your sins are forgiven you and you are a born-again Christian. Now, Jesus would not have told Nicodemus that he had to be born again of water and spirit if all it took was a prayer. If all it took was a prayer, Jesus would not have told Nicodemus that he had to be born again of both water and spirit. Right? Now, you look at what is confession. This is where men get stuck at the concept of confession. A confession is nothing more than an acknowledgement of guilt or of a wrong that is committed. That's all confession is. It's when a person acknowledges that they are guilty of a wrong or an error that they have committed. That's all confession is. This is an acknowledgement, okay? David himself showed you that confession had to be a part of salvation, part of repentance, because when he had transgressed against Uriah with Bathsheba, part of his repentance was, Lord, I acknowledge my transgression. That was confession. He said, I acknowledge my transgression. So confession is a part of repentance, but it is not all that is required. Now, if you look in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 36, I think you have it there on your paper. It says, therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both what? Lord and Christ. It says, now when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their heart, right? And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So in verse number 36, you see that is a declaration of what was done wrong. That was the error. What did they do wrong? Remember, confession is an acknowledgement of what? Guilt or wrong that was committed. In verse number 36, they declared what they did wrong. Or they were told what they did that was wrong. They had crucified both what? Lord and Christ. In other words, crucifixion was the ultimate form of rejection. They had crucified both Lord and Christ. And in verse number 37, that's confession. That is confession. Because what did they say? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Right? That was confession. They would not have asked how to correct that thing if they didn't admit that they were guilty. So even though you confess or acknowledge what you do that was wrong, that does not necessarily remove or correct the error, so to speak. It is just a part of repentance. They acknowledge, they say, what must we do? And then Peter said in Acts 2 and 38 to do what? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission. Now, this tract doesn't say that. This tract makes you think because you prayed a prayer, your sins are forgiven. But according to the scripture, it says you have to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Remission means to remove. All right. That's the only way sin is removed from the soul, is when the soul goes down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. It starts off with repentance. Part of repentance is confession. They did that when they said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, what shall we do? But then Peter told them what they had to do. He said what? Repent. So you notice repentance wasn't done because they said, what shall we do? Repentance isn't done just because someone confesses that they did something wrong. That's not all of repentance. You notice, if you look at the little excerpt that I have there, it says repentance includes confession, but confession is not all that repentance demands. True repentance does begin with confession or the acknowledgement. You have to identify what I did, said, or thought that is wrong or that is not like Jesus. That's what they did. They said, when Peter said, you crucified both what? Lord and Christ. Then they asked Peter, what shall we do? In other words, how can we forget this? How can we correct this thing? And Peter goes on and says what? Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it says, but repentance demands a step further. You notice they thought when they came and said they acknowledged that they did the wrong, they themselves understood that more had to be done. That's where people don't understand that. They want to just quote a prayer or read a tract and they think that that's it. There's more that must be done. How do you know that there's more that must be done? Because the people themselves that were there that said crucify Jesus knew that they had to do more than just say they were wrong. How do you know that? Because they asked Peter and the brethren, what shall we do? Everybody understand that? They asked Peter and the brethren, what shall we do? In other words, they knew in order to fix this thing, they had to do more than just say they were wrong. Okay? You have to do more than that. As it says there, I must be willing and do what is necessary to do what? Change. I must be willing and willing and do what is necessary to change. Notice what he says, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is evidence that an action of change is what required. This is evidence that an action of change is required. And Peter goes through and tells them how to do that change. He says to do what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, everyone is not willing to make that necessary change. Many people will acknowledge, many people will, as they say, have a come to Jesus moment. They'll acknowledge, but they won't do what's necessary to change. They won't do what's necessary to change. Because how do you know that? It did not say all of them were willing to do this. According to verse number 41 in Acts chapter number 2, it says they that gladly received the word were what? Baptized. Now, did not say everybody that heard it were baptized. Only those that did what? Gladly received it. And this is verse number 41, is proof that everyone will not be willing to make the necessary change. People will talk it, but they won't be willing to make the necessary change. Now, notice what it says in verse number, if you jump up to chapter number 2, verse number 36. Chapter number 2, verse number 36, what does it say?
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly,
right,
that God has made this change, that thing Jesus whom you
Now notice, Paul was talking to a group of people that had rejected Jesus. Not Paul, but Peter. He was talking to a group of people that had rejected Jesus. When Pilate had asked them, who of the two that you would wish for me to let go, whether Jesus or Barabbas, they had rejected Jesus because they said, give us Barabbas and let Jesus be crucified. Now on the day of Pentecost, they saw the power of Jesus in these people that were in the upper room. They saw the power of Jesus with the people that were in the upper room. Peter began to explain to them that this was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And he went through and explained to them how Jesus got up out of the grave. He said, you know, how when they read that prophecy from David, they said, you can't be surely talking about David because we have David's tomb. We can go pull David's tomb out of the sepulchre and we will have his bones. We will have his bones there. But what you will not have is the bones of Jesus. You will not have the bones of Jesus. And when they realized that, that's what chapter number 2 and verse number 36 says, that let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that you have done what? You have crucified both what? Lord and Christ, right? You crucified, you rejected the Lord and Christ. Now, just those that were willing to change asked, what shall we do? There were still people there that were not willing to change. And this is what you have when you get Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 1, you see the same target group is still addressed. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for who? Israel. Is that they might be what? That's right. That they might be saved. They might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Not according to knowledge. For they being what? Ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, God's righteousness starts with faith. According to Romans chapter number 5 and 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Justification is that process where Jesus declares the sinner righteous based upon the sinner's faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How do I show Jesus that I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection? Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How are we that are dead to sin? That's the key thing. How did you die to sin? How are we that are dead to sin going to live any longer therein? And then he says, know ye not as many of us as were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. See, the justification comes because the person displays a faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We are buried with Jesus by baptism. That's why Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We are buried with him by baptism. And you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our resurrecting power. You cannot expect to go back with Jesus without the Holy Ghost. You don't have any power to lift you up off of the earth. In order for you to go back with Jesus, you need power to lift you up off of the earth. The power to lift you up off of the earth is the Holy Ghost, right? You don't have no Holy Ghost, you have no power, right? That's what the Lord told that woman when she said, my brother's been dead for days and he stinks. He said that, she said, I believe I'll see him in the resurrection. Jesus said, when you're looking at me, I am the resurrection and the life. Though those that are dead, if they just believe, they'll live, right? That's right. That's right. So that's the justification, or that's the process of Jesus declaring the sinner righteous. But when you reject Jesus' plan, you're going about, according to Romans, to establish your own righteousness, right? It says they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their what? When you read this tract is proof that men will reject Jesus' righteousness and go about and establish their what? Notice, they didn't say nothing about water. They didn't say nothing about spirit. Yet they said a simple prayer is enough to save you, right? Why? Because what they say, I know I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. Come into my life and make me a born-again Christian. Help me to be the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. It says, if you have prayed that prayer with a sincere heart, then your sins have been forgiven you and you are a born-again Christian. That's someone doing it their way. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born of both what? Water and spirit. That's Jesus' way of being declared righteous. But when you're ignorant of God's righteousness, scripture says you'll go about and establish what? Your own righteousness. And when you do it your way, that means you're not submitting yourself, right? You have not submitting yourself to the righteousness of God. Now, look at those two scriptures there in Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. Let us know that this is not anything new. People have been trying to do things their own way for a long time. Yes. That's it. See, that's when the proof is going to come out. When you go through life and you do things the way you want to do it, In your mind, you think you're right. And can't nobody tell you different. But the truth is going to come out when? In the end. Huh? In the end. Many people have thought that they had a relationship with Jesus, but when they stopped breathing, they found out something different. Because the end caught them. The end caught them. You notice what this scripture says? There is a way that does what? That's a trick of the devil to make you think you're on your way back with Jesus and you just as wrong as two left shoes. You just as wrong could be. And this is why it's best to do it the way Jesus said for it to be done. Don't go around doing it your way. Don't go around trying to establish things your way. Do it the way Jesus said for it to be done. Get into the scriptures. Get into his word and see what does Jesus say for you to do. Don't go by what somebody said. Don't go by what you watched. Don't go by what you heard. Get into the word of God and see what Jesus has declared in his word to save you. Right? Come on, that's the truth. That's what Nicodemus, he had a mind to go to Jesus. He had a mind to go to the source and ask the right questions, right? Now, he may not have thought he was going to get that answer, but he got the answer. He got what his soul needed. What did his soul need? Except unless a man is born again, he cannot see nor can he enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man is born of both what? Water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. This is the Jesus' way of righteousness. This is Jesus' way of righteousness. This is not our own. That's why the writer says that there is a way that seems right unto the man, but the what? The end, right? What does the rest of it say? The end. The end thereof are the ways of death. See, that devil will have you going down that path still in sin. Because Romans chapter number 6 and 23 is the only scripture that tells you the wage of sin. Scripture said the wage of sin is what? See, that let me know you're going down a path that seems right, but you're not paying attention to your condition. You're not paying attention to your nature. I don't care how much right you do, how much right you say, how much right you get yourself involved in. When your nature is sinful, you have to pay sin's price. That's why that devil don't want you to be born again. Because he knows when you get born again, you take care of your nature. You take care of who you are. Jesus removes sin from the soul. The devil don't want sin to get off of your soul. He wants you to keep on going through life thinking you're right when the end is going to be what? Death. It is going to be death because you're staying where? In your sin. The wage of sin is what? That's true. Look at chapter number 16. What did I say? 16 and 25. Yep. That's right. Says it again. The end thereof are the ways of death. So saints need to make sure you get Jesus and you live like Jesus said for you to live. So that you will know what your end is. Huh? You want to always have that promise in front of your face. Where the Lord says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. You don't want to abandon that. Folks say, well, what are you running for your life for? Because the Lord Jesus has promised me that he has gone away to prepare a place for me. That where I am, he says, I'll be right there with him. So I don't want to do anything that's going to abandon that promise. That's the truth. Else, the end of my life is going to be what? Death. That's what the scripture says. The end is going to be what? Death. It seems right, but the end of it is what? Is death. That's true. Now let's look at these other scriptures. Someone get John chapter number 1. And let's see about how it's very possible to reject Jesus.
1:11-12, he came unto his own.
Who is his own? That's the Jews. The house of Israel. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. How do you know they didn't receive him? Because they crucified him. Pilate says, which of the two do you want me to let go? Barabbas or Jesus? They said, crucify Jesus. Pilate says, he have done no wrong. I find in him no fault. They cried out the more, crucify him. That's why John said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. That's people that are in the church. When you come into the church, you're saying you want to receive Jesus. You want to receive Jesus into your life. And it starts off with repentance. A mind to want to do what? Change. Then you must go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or for the removal of sin. And you must have the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is your power to overcome the flesh. It's your power to get up off of this earth when Jesus comes back for his bride. When Jesus comes back for his bride and says, come up hither. You ain't got no power, you're going to stay right here on the earth. Huh? Now, don't you think John was the only one on the earth? He was the one in Patmos, but he wasn't the only one in the earth. And if Jesus got the power to call up one individual and leave everybody else on the earth, what makes you think that the rapture is some fantasy? Huh? Didn't he tell John, come up hither? And John did what? He came up. Huh? He left all of the other folk on the earth. But he himself did what? Came up. Now that's the same power we need to have. When the Lord calls us by name, we need the Lord to be, we need to be able to hear the Lord say, come up, right? The Lord says, behold, he come. The voice of an archangel. Said the dead in Christ are going to do what? Rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? Jesus needs to know who you are. You need to know who Jesus is, and Jesus needs to know who you are. It's not enough to go around the earth talking about you know who Jesus is, but does Jesus know who you are? Do you have a relationship with him? And that relationship comes through the what? The new birth. Huh? Say he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as did what? Received him. To them. To them. To them gave he power to become the what?
Sons of God.
Huh? That do what? Believe on his name. Don't you want to go down in the water in the name of Jesus? You're buried with him by baptism. Huh? You receive the Holy Ghost through the name of Jesus. Peter said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. See, you get the water and the spirit through the name. Huh? Unto the, as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, who not born of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God himself. Didn't I tell you this is a divine birth? When you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, to everyone else it seems like water, but because we apply the name to that water, that water becomes God's blood, right? Huh? And Jesus said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, right? I won't bring you into condemnation, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. There's a power that's in that name. And the devil don't want you to get that power. Go over to Romans. Read the next one. Romans, what I see, 10, 20 through 21. What did he say? I was found of them. Isn't that the truth? Wasn't no Gentiles at the cross yelling, crucify him? Why? Because he didn't come to the Gentiles. Huh? He was found of them that saw him not. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing? How the Lord can look beyond him not being associated with you. Huh? That's where he says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as what? As many. He opened up the door to everybody. Huh? He opened up the door to both Jew and the Gentile. That's what Peter was so confused at the house of Cornelius. Because now he got these Gentiles approaching Jesus in faith. Huh? And Peter says, I perceive that God has no respect of person. Huh? That's the truth. Anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. But you've got to do it Jesus' way. You cannot go through ignorantly and do it your own way. You've got to do it Jesus' way, right? As the truth says, he opened up that door for whoever want to be saved. Huh? That's why he says Isaiah. Isaiah was very bold. Isaiah is Isaiah. He said he was very bold. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And saith, I was found of them. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? That's what the Lord told you. You'll seek me and find me. When you search for me with what? I don't know how you prayed the day or the time that you found Jesus. But I'm telling you, your prayer worked. How do you know? Because you found the truth. Huh? You found the truth. You can still be stuck out there in some falsehood, in some kind of ism. But you found the truth. Why? Because you approached the Lord with a sincere heart. Huh? You said, Lord Jesus, I want more than this. I want to be saved. I want to know what the truth is. And Jesus knows how to guide you right where the truth is at, right? Now, what you do with it is on you, right? What you do with it is on you. But the Lord says through Isaiah, boldly, he said, I was found of them that sought me what? Ain't that the truth? One day you didn't have no mind to seek Jesus. Huh? Don't you go through life with the, and be fooled by the devil, making you think you was all right all of your life. If you be honest, you know flat-footed, you had no mind to be saved. But the Lord woke you up out of sleep. Huh? Woke you up out of sleep and helped you see yourself. Helped you see that I'm going through life doing it my way, and my way is going to lead me to death. Huh? That's true. That was you. That was me. We sought him not. Right? Keep going. I was made manifest unto them that asked what? In other words, they ain't know how to pray. We ain't know how to pray. We didn't know that Jesus is God. And we didn't know how to pray to Jesus. Huh? Thank the Lord. The Lord didn't let you stop here. You may have read a prayer like this and thought you was all right. You say, oh, yeah, I got my ticket now. I'm on my way back with Jesus. Huh? I'm on my way back with God. They ask you, who is God? I don't know. All I know is I prayed to him off of this track. Huh? And this track said to tell God, I'm sorry, but who is God? I have no idea. Don't you realize you're praying to your father, the devil? Huh? And the lust of your father you are doing? You prayed that prayer 20 years ago and you're still following after the devil. You're still doing what the devil tells you to do. He has become your God. Huh? You choose to follow after a lie rather than the truth. Huh? Come on, saints. We were not seeking Jesus. Huh? We were not asking Jesus. We weren't praying to Jesus. Huh? Read a little bit more. All day long. Huh? This is why you are without excuse, saints. This is why you are out without an excuse. If you don't open up your mind and let the Lord come on in, you are without an excuse. Why? Because the Lord say, from the time you get up in the morning to the time you lay your head down that night, I got my arms stretched out towards you. Huh? He ain't got his hands outstretched out towards you to see how much you can drink, how much you can smoke, how much you can cuss. He's got his arms stretched out towards you to save you. Save you from what? From your sin, right? Save you from your sin. Save you from that no good thing. Huh? He said, I got my arms stretched out toward. Huh? Not someday. Not some of the day. He tell you all day long. Even when you not paying attention to Jesus, he still got his what? This makes sense, doesn't it? Because it backs up what he says there in Revelation chapter number 3. When he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Huh? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man said he opened it up to Israel, but Israel didn't want it. So he opened it up to everybody. If any man hear my voice and open up the door, Jesus said, I will come into him, right? That's what he said. He got his arm stretched out towards you all day long. All day long, I have stretched forth my what? My hands into a what? Isn't that the truth? That's love right there. That you keep on disobeying Jesus, yet he keep on having his hands out towards you. Huh? Disobedient and a gainsaying people. That's the truth. Now that's love. That's love. And nobody talk about the Lord don't love them. Yes, he do. Because he keep on stretching out his arms towards you. Even when you don't pay him no attention. He keep on stretching out his arms. Every error, every mistake that we make. It don't take the Lord's hands back. He's still got his hands stretched out right towards us, saying, when are you going to let me come on in? Huh? Even those that got the Holy Ghost, Lord still got his hands stretched out towards you. When you do things that kick the Lord out, kick his presence out, kick his will out, he's still got his hands stretched out towards you. Huh? He's got his hands stretched out towards you. He's telling you what your problem is. You are disobedient and gainsaying people. Huh? He said, but if my people, which are called by my name, would do what? Humble themselves. Get out of yourself. Humble yourself and do what? Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways, right? Then he said, you'll hear from heaven. The Lord will open up his arms towards you, and you will open up your arms towards Jesus. Right? Come on. Go get me St. John chapter number 5. Y'all keep me moving. I got a couple more scriptures I want to get out of here. Decent time. St. John chapter number 5. 5 and verse number 39, I believe it is, right?
5 and 39. Yes. Search
them. Get in that book. Get in this book. Huh? Now remember, Jesus was talking to a people that only had the Old Testament. They were living out the New Testament. So they only had the writing from Matthew through Malachi. They did not have Genesis through Malachi. They did not have Matthew through Revelation. They only had Genesis through Malachi. He said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have life. Huh? Come on, you think you got it. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You think you're saved and you're rejecting Jesus. You think you're saved because you know this and know that about the law, but you are rejecting Jesus. Huh? You think you're saved because you ignorantly go about establishing your own righteousness and have not submitted yourself to the righteousness of God, which is by faith, right? You looking for the law to do something for you that it cannot do. The law cannot save you. Huh? The law is holy. It's a standard. And it cannot save you. All it did is expose the will of Jesus. Huh? That's all the law does, is expose the will of Jesus. Huh? But what does the law do to a sinner? It stops your mouth. Huh? It tells you to shut up. It reminds you that you are guilty. Huh? It reminds you that you are guilty. So confession only says, Lord, I know I'm guilty. But you need Jesus to help you get out the guilt, right? You need his blood to get you up out of the guilt. You need his blood to make a way where there was no way. Huh? Come on, that's truth. You need his blood to do that for you. Search the scriptures for them you think you have life. Keep going. Yes. Ain't that something? Ain't that you rejecting Jesus, but you talk about you got the word. How you rejecting Jesus and say you got the word when Jesus is the word? Huh? How you rejecting Jesus and say you got eternal life when Jesus is eternal life? See, Islam can't give you this. Jehovah's Witness can't give you this. Catholicism cannot give you this. Being a Methodist, a Baptist, Episcopalian, a Lutheran, it can't give you this. Why? Because it promises you something that doesn't have the proof. Huh? What does it promise you? All of them promise you eternal life, but they reject Jesus. How can you give me eternal life and you reject Jesus? Huh? How can you give me eternal life and you reject Jesus? Jesus is eternal life. Huh? See, when people talk about us, I'll say, y'all ain't got but a few people. That's okay. Why? Because I know it's life here. Huh? I know eternal life is here. Why? Because we keep on lifting up the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, I set before you an open door. Huh? Why? Can't nobody shut it. Why? Because you have not rejected my name. You haven't denied. Denied means rejected. We haven't denied the name of Jesus. We depend on his name in sickness. We depend on his name when we're healthy. We depend on his name when we're living on cloud nine. And we depend on his name, we feel like we're walking through the valley. But we still keep the name right before us. Oh, that name is a dominant. It's a constant right before the saints. That name is not something wishy-washy. You're wishy-washy, but the name is not wishy-washy. It's constant in your life. It is dependable, right? That's the truth. Search the scripture, for then you think you have eternal life, and they are they that which testify of me. Keep going. You won't come to Jesus. Ain't that something? In that same kind of people that Peter was talking to. Same kind of people that Paul was talking to. They won't come to Jesus that they might have life. Huh? Keep going. Yes.
But I know you, that you have not.
Didn't the Lord say that? That let me know Jesus is the God of Jeremiah. We said that heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's why he said to God, he says, you won't come to me, but I know who you are, right? I know who you are. Jesus know the devil when he see the devil. He knows somebody that reject him when he see him. That's why you don't want to, you don't want to go through life rejecting Jesus. If you do anything, if you don't learn to do anything else, don't go through life rejecting Jesus. Whatever he say, let your soul say amen to it, right? Let your soul say yes to Jesus. Don't reject the Lord. Because the Lord can't do nothing for you when you reject it. Huh? Oh yes, it's true. Scriptures are given to you for you to get eternal life. Huh? And Jesus said, you won't come to me. Huh? You won't come to Jesus so you can live. What the rest of that verse, number 30, 40 say? You won't come to me, huh? That you might have what? Keep going.
And it shall receive no honor from them.
Yeah.
But I know you.
That's the truth. That's how these folk try to draw nigh to Jesus with their lips, but their hearts are far from Jesus. Jesus can look right past your Hosanna. Huh? Now nobody but a God of all knowledge could look past all of the Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus didn't move, he wasn't moved by none of that. You would have thought the Lord would have been happy. All them people waving palms and laying their clothes down in the street when they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But the Lord knew a week later, them very people were going to do what? Reject him. They were going to say, crucify him, right? And if he knew that about them, what you think you're going to get back? He know you too. That's why you can't get angry when you get up off the place of sacrifice, calling on Jesus and you don't receive the Holy Ghost. You ought to wake up with a sense of humility, knowing that Jesus knows who you are, right? He knows who you are. He will save you when you're ready, right? But there's no excuse for you to get up and turn away from him, right? Every time you get up and you don't have what you need, you seem to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Why? Because you know me better than I know myself. Help me with the errors of my ways. Lest this error take me to an unescapable hell. You don't want to go to hell and can't get out of it. You don't want to do that to yourself, saints. Read a little bit more. Yes. You don't have the love of God in you. Isn't that the truth? Huh? How did he come? Huh? Ain't no other name given but Jesus. Ain't no other name given but Jesus. You didn't hear Jesus say Jehovah? You ain't hear Jesus say Yahweh? You ain't hear Jesus say Allah? They say, who art thou? I'm Jesus. Huh? Who art thou? I am Jesus. Huh? And he said, I am come in my what? Isn't that something? That's the truth.
If another
come in his own name, that's where you got all these other names coming from. Your Jehovah's, your Allah, your Buddha, your all these other names. That's these other names. And the scriptures say these people who will believe him, huh? They'll believe that. Not only believe it, they'll receive it. Keep going.
How can you believe which receive honor one of another?
Yeah.
And seek not the honor
that come from above. That's true. That's true. Keep going.
Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father.
Uh-huh.
There is one that accuses you.
Yep. You are. Uh-huh.
He
yep.
If you had believed
Moses, you would have believed me.
For he wrote of me.
For who?
Moses
wrote those first five books of the Bible. Yeah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are the books written by Moses. And Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. So when Moses wrote, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, he was talking about Jesus. Huh? I know that. I believe that. I believe that. When the scripture say, from out of the dust of the ground, God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I believe that was Jesus. I believe Jesus put his hands in the dirt and formed Adam from out of that dirt. I believe Jesus cut Adam's side, took a rib out of Adam, and formed Eve. I believe Jesus breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. I believe that. He say Moses wrote of me. Huh? If you believe Moses, you would believe me. Why? Because Moses did what? Is that all of it?
But if you believe not his
writings,
yep. How shall
you
believe?
How are you going to believe me? That's true. Yeah. That lets you sow. People do a whole lot of talking. Yeah. I believe Jesus. No, you don't. Because if you believed him, you'd be doing what he say do. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. If you love the Lord, you'll do what the Lord tell you to do. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be no argument. Wouldn't be no debate. Huh? You'd be just submissive and obedient to whatever Jesus tell you to do. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Is that all of it? Go to the next scripture now. Next scripture is Luke chapter number 24, 27, and then 44 through 47. Luke chapter number 24, and pay attention, and pay 24 and 27.
Mm-hmm. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets.
Now, again, what scriptures did they have? They only had the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. They only had the books from Genesis to Malachi. Mm-hmm. But what did he say?
At
beginning at Moses. That's the first book of the Bible. And he didn't just stop there. He went through all of the prophets. He expounded on them. Uh-huh. Isn't that something? Everything about the Lord or God in the Old Testament, Jesus took and he put himself into it. When he said, when you read Psalms 150, and it said, praise ye the Lord. Jesus said, that psalm was talking about me. Huh? Yes, it was. Said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Jesus said, that psalm was talking about me. When Jesus said, when you read, know ye not that the Lord, he is God. Jesus said, that psalm was talking about me. When Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus said, Isaiah was talking about me. When Isaiah said, behold, the Lord is in his temple and his train filled it. Isaiah saw me, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, all of these scriptures are talking about who? Me. Right? Every last one of them talking about him.
All the scriptures are things concerning him.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Keep going. They go messed up. That they go that three God doctrine. Mm-hmm. That three God doctrine is gone out the window, because he didn't say it's written about us.
No.
He said it's written about me. Well, Scott, I don't see the name of Jesus in the New Old Testament. Yeah, that's right. You're not gonna see it. Moses asked him for his name, and what was Moses told? I am that I am. Huh? So no, you will not see the name Jesus in the Old Testament. Huh? But would you best believe when the Lord was ready to offer salvation to the world, he gave him a name which is above what? Every name, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
When he wanted to give a name that was going to save you from sin, she should bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he should do what? Save his people from what? Yeah, and that's true. So now God has given himself a name. That name is what? Jesus. Huh? And the scripture said there is no salvation in any other. For there is no other name. Huh? There's no other name given among men under these heavens whereby we what? That's the truth. Read me. Keep moving. Yes.
These are the words which I speak unto you.
Yes.
While I was yet with you,
yes.
All things must be fulfilled.
Yes.
Which were written in the law of Moses.
Yes.
And in the prophets. And in the Psalms.
Uh-huh. Concerning. That's right. Keep going.
Then he opened up
their understanding to the that they may understand the what?
Scripture.
Now, what was the problem in Romans? They were ignorantly going about establishing their own righteousness. They had no understanding of the scriptures. How many people you think going to church today, listening to a person that don't understand? Now, that's real bad. You don't understand, and you coming to listen to a person that don't understand. That's what Jesus said, when the blind lead the blind, both of them folk fall into a ditch. Read a little bit more. I need them to be done.
Verse 46. Yes. Said unto them, thus it is written.
Thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Yes. And that what? Repentance. Huh? Mission of sin should be preached how?
In his name.
In that truth.
Among all nations.
Beginning. And that's why you had in Acts chapter number 2 where they preached unto them Jesus. And they said that when they heard that name of Jesus, they realized they had crucified both what? Lord and Christ. And they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Right? They asked. They asked it. Now go over to 2 Corinthians and I'm going to let y'all go. My time is done. You got the rest of the scriptures there to help you out.
And not as Moses, which put a veil over
his face.
That the children of Israel could not steadfastly look
on him. That's truth.
Of that which is abolished.
That's truth.
But their minds were blinded.
What was wrong with these people's minds? Isn't that something? Now the Lord is trying to tell you why people go and establish their own way. Because their minds are what? Now we know why the minds are blinded, because the scripture says it. If the gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, right? That's the truth. Their minds are blinded. Keep on reading, brother.
Until this day.
Now, this is today. That scripture is still present. Even today, when Moses is read. Keep reading. And that same veil is over these people's minds. Yeah. Now, that means when they read the Old Testament, they're not understanding it. Huh? And that's no different. If you covered up your face, covered up your eyes right now and go on read. See, I'm scared I can't do it. But that's what you're doing when you're reading without an understanding. You might as well cover up your eyes. And you realize that's impossible to do. Well, that's the same truth. How are you going to serve the Lord and your mind is blinded? You don't know who Jesus is. You have not submitted to his way of doing things. Yet you go around doing it what? Your way. Read a little bit more. Well, how is the blindness removed? Jesus is the one that removes the blindness. Huh? That's why the devil don't want you to be in a church that preaches Jesus. Because he knows Jesus will remove those blindness. Huh? Ain't that the truth? Huh? Devil would have loved to keep you right where you was at. Before you got into the knowledge of truth, devil would have loved to keep you right where you was at. Why? Because he knows as long as he kept you there, you'll never see the truth. You'll never see the truth. Your mind will be blind. Huh? But the scripture say that veil or that blindness is removed with Jesus. Jesus got the power to remove the blindness. Help you see the light, right? That's the truth. That's why, saints, we got to be careful. Because we got to make sure that we don't let ourselves, we don't let the devil put those blinders back again.
Yeah.
After the Lord took the time to remove it, we don't want the devil to put those scales back in front of our eyes.
Yeah, yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Because we get this attitude, this is not what I want.
Yeah.
This is not how I feel.
Wow.
This is not what I think.
Jesus.
Huh? That's you doing it your way. So what are you doing? You're putting the veil back in front of your face. Read a little bit more. I'm sorry, brother.
But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their
hearts. Yes. Isn't that something? When they still read the scriptures today, they still ain't got no understanding. Keep reading.
When
what is the it? It is the heart. It is that mind. When that mind turns, what does that mind does what? When it turns to the Lord, right? The veil shall be taken away. Keep going. There is what? That's true. That's true. See, the devil don't want you to. Devil don't want you to be free. Devil wants you to stay around walking in darkness, walking around in sin. Long he said, "Well, Scudder, I go to church. They go to church. Well, they can go to church all they want. Just don't be in the truth. Just don't be where Jesus is at." Scripture does not say, because you go to the church, then the veil is moved. Because you carry your Bible, the veil is moved. Because you know a couple of scriptures, sing a couple of gospel songs, that the veil is removed. No, 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 no. That heart has got to turn to the Lord. Huh? See, that's how the devil set this thing all up with this little prayer right here. Because this it makes a person think that their heart has turned to the Lord. Because they quoted this prayer. No, 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 no. Jesus told you you had to be what? Born again. Born above what? Water? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. There's no different. You go over to Romans chapter number 5 and 1. I'm going to let y'all go. 5 and 1 through 3. Justified by faith. We have what? Peace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have just because we got access don't mean everybody going to walk through. Huh? How many doors in this city right now are open? You don't even know it. Look at the reality. The doors of this church are open. Those doors are open. Meaning everybody in the city of Philadelphia and abroad has access. Why? Because the door is what? Now, if the door was locked, they ain't got no access. But when the door is open, that means anybody can come in. But what's the reality? Veil is there. The veil is there. They don't see it. Huh? You see everything else but this place. They can tell you everything on the street but this place. Say, so you mean, oh, the paint shop ain't even got no name on the door. But you know it's there. Here we got a sign and a schedule on the door. You still don't know the church is there. We be in here praising the Lord. Huh? Go out all the time carrying our Bibles, singing about Jesus, talking about Jesus. Track after track, invitation after invitation. And you still have no clue that you got what? Access. Huh? Access to what? Into this grace. See, devil don't want you to realize what's here. Y'all realize this neighborhood is blessed just like Wallace Street's neighborhood was blessed? Huh? Folks say y'all shouldn't have left down there. Why not? We needed more space. How many years were we on Wallace Street? And the door was open, the window was open, and you still didn't come in there.
Thank you, Jesus.
Access. Uh-huh. Huh? Jesus. Say, well, we ain't got no way. You're lying. Because the van comes and picks up somebody from the neighborhood. If you wanted to go, you know who goes to the church. Just say, I want to go too, right? Access. Whom also you have access into this grace, wherein we stand, right?
And rejoice.
See, everybody want to say they're saved. Because the door is open. But the question is, have you done what? Walked in it. Huh? See, Peter and them told them that they had crucified both Lord and Christ. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter was telling them they have access. He said, do what? Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says that, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then it tells you only those that did what? Gladly received the word. Huh? Those that were gladly received the word were done what? Baptized. Huh? They, in other words, only a few were willing to do what? Come through the door. The door was open, but only a few were willing to do what? You ever seen people drop folk off and still won't come through the door? You ain't got no mind. I think y'all don't pay no attention to it, but I pay attention to everything. Because I be saying to myself, they don't even realize what they have drove away from. Yet they're going to come before a door of salvation, a door of eternity, and say, Jesus, take me with you. Jesus said, why would I take you with me when I opened up a door for you on the earth that you refuse to walk through? You refuse to walk through it. You knew it was here to save you. And you said, I ain't got time for it. I don't want nothing to do with that. But then you're going to get an eternity and say, Jesus, 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 open up the door for me. The Lord said, he ain't going to even answer you. Huh? The only thing I learned about Lazarus, the rich man, when he got into hell, the Lord didn't even answer him. Cried out, but the Lord, the one that can deliver him from hell, did not answer him. Huh? That's how you know folk are down there crying out for help right now. And it's a deafening place. Why? Because there is no answer. Huh? That's the truth, saint. That's true. That's true. It behooves us to take advantage of the plan of salvation while it is extended towards us. Now, y'all got more scriptures on your papers, but I'm not going to go through them all. Just so you can know what my thoughts were on the lesson. Let the Lord be that freedom for you. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Now, why be bound? Why be bound when the Lord has freed us, given us an opportunity to be free? Free from where? In our minds. Free in our minds. You listen to a lot of the teachings of Islam. They try to keep pushing the folk. Free your mind. Free your mind from being dependent upon this and dependent upon that and doing it for yourself. The concept sounds good, but they don't understand. They're looking only from oppression from a government. From man's rule. You need to be delivered from the rule of sin and death. Huh? That's why I can't help you. Because they don't know the core problem that I have is the problem of what? Sin and death. That's why Paul said, who shall deliver me? Huh? Who shall deliver me from this body of what? This death. I know that dwelleth what? In me is a what? He didn't say the government. He said the problem was who? It was in me. They won't tell you that. They won't tell you that. They'll keep pushing it what you are, who you are. You are a king. You are a queen. You are this. You are that. No, 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 no. What you are is a sinner. And the only one that can deliver you from sin is Jesus. He came to save you from sin. Right? John the Baptist saw him coming. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. He didn't point to Allah or Muhammad. He pointed to Jesus. He didn't point to Jehovah. He pointed to Jesus and called Jesus the Lamb of God, which comes to do what? Take away the what? Huh? One writer said, can't nobody forgive sin but God. But John said, here comes Jesus. Huh? The Lamb of God, which does what? Taketh away. See how the devil don't want you to get into Jesus? Because he knows if you get into Jesus, Jesus will take something away from you that the devil wants to stay in you. Huh? I say it again. Jesus can take something away from you that the devil wants to stay where? In you. Devil wants what to stay in you? Sin. But Jesus said, I can do what? Take it away from you. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why not want to live in that freedom? Why keep going through life talking about, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. When are you going to be better? Huh? Got an opportunity to be better. Be better. Right? That's the truth. You got an opportunity to do well, do well. Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not sin again.